The four children feel like treacherous friends. Who should be the one to tell the Phoenix that there could no longer be a place for it in that happy home in Camden Town? Anthea crept into Mother's room and set the tray on a chair. Then she pulled one of the blinds up very softly. "I'm so sorry you've got a headache," she said. "It's that horrible fire and you being so frightened. And we feel as if it was our faults. I can't explain, but..."
"It wasn't your fault a bit, you darling goose," Mother said. "How could it be?"
"That's just what I can't tell you," said Anthea. When Anthea rejoined the others, she found them all plunged in the gloom where she was herself, for everyone knew that the days of the carpet were now numbered. So that now, after nearly a month of magic happenings, the time was at hand when life would have to go on in the dull, ordinary way. "Mother's going to send away the carpet as soon as she's well enough to see about that coconut matting. Fancy us with coconut matting. Us! And we've walked under live coconut trees on the island where you can't have whooping cough."
"Pity island," said their baby brother, who was called the lamb.
They were talking about the carpet, but what they were thinking about was the phoenix. The golden bird had been so kind, so friendly, and now it had set fire to a theatre and made Mother ill. Nobody blamed the bird. It had acted in a perfectly natural manner, but everyone saw that it must not be asked to prolong its visit. Indeed, in plain English, it must be asked to go. They could not talk the whole thing over as they would have liked to do, because the phoenix itself was sitting on the fender of the nursery fire, preening its golden feathers.
"Pity birdie,"
remarked the lamb. "Poor misguided infant," said the phoenix.
"Pity birdie," said the lamb. "Go and show mummy."
"Mummy's asleep," said Jane hastily.
But the lamb, crawling under the table, caught his feet and hands in the holes of the carpet, so that the children had to move the table, and there the carpet lay bare to sight with all its horrid holes. "Ah," said the bird, "it isn't long for this world." "No," said Cyril, respectfully kicking what was left of the carpet. "Everything comes to an end." The movement of its bright colours caught the eye of the lamb, who instantly began to pull at the red and blue threads.
"Aggedy, daggedy, gaggedy,"
murmured the lamb. And before anyone could have winked, the middle of the floor showed bare. The magic carpet was gone, and so was the lamb. There was a horrible silence. The lamb, the baby, all alone, had been wafted away on that untrustworthy carpet so full of holes and magic. And no one could follow him, because there was now no carpet to follow on. "But the lamb never wished," said Cyril. "He was only talking bosh." "The carpet understands all speech," said the phoenix, "even bosh." "Do you mean, then," said Anthea, "that when he was saying aggledy dag, or whatever it was, that he meant something by it?" "All speech has meaning," said the phoenix.
"And what did it mean?"
"Unfortunately," the bird rejoined, "I never studied bosh." Jane sobbed noisily, but the others were calm with what is sometimes called the calmness of despair. The lamb was gone. Gone into the great world with no other companion and protector than a carpet with holes in it. The children had never really understood before what an enormously big place the world is, and the lamb could be anywhere in it.